Praise God. Amen. And we can get into the word. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I want to thank you this morning for the word of God that works everywhere. I thank you that Jesus is here in the house. Holy Spirit is evident here. We thank you. We welcome him. Welcome, Holy Spirit. He is the great teacher and guide. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be on television, to be online, live streaming to other places, other centers that have no church, and people that are shut in a home somewhere. Maybe they're in jail, or maybe they're in a situation where they can't get out and they don't have money. And I want to thank you, Lord God, even those that are watching from maybe a hotel room and happen to turn on their apparatus to watch, get in their Facebook, and now they're watching this program. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, I take authority over every demonic force within my voice, that people who are crying out to help for help will get the help. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over that. I render them powerless and useless and ineffective against the people of God and those people seeking help. So I want to pray for every person in here, everyone that has been affected by the disease and sin for life of addictions. In Jesus' name, no matter what form it comes from. So I want to thank you that people can be released, even those that have been affected by other areas in their marriages. And so, Father, I give you praise, for this word will break the back of the enemy, set the captive free. I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are free to touch people and heal them today in this room. And I thank you for the healing service tonight, the miracle service of healing. The power of God will work and shall work, and the gifts of the Spirit shall be in manifestation, and people shall come. And we bind the enemy from trying to steal and kill and destroy, prevent people from coming to hear the gospel. In the name of Jesus, and angels go forth and cause money and cause the people to come so that they can get on the cab, they can get on the bus in Jesus' name and get here and hear the word of God. In Jesus' name, we thank you that I will stand here preaching the word of God boldly. Help me to be accurate and help me to be pure and simple so that everyone will hear. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen. And amen. Praise God. All right, turn in your Bibles with me, please. This morning, I really felt we need to teach a lesson on faith. And I haven't done maybe perhaps what I should have done more is teaching on it, because we're called Faith City Church. We should teach more often on a lesson. I was told by Brother Hagin to teach on faith more often. If we, there's a guy talking, an English fellow here. You're okay. Praise God. It's okay. It's all right. Praise God. I'm glad he's reading his Bible. So, I love Jerry. Jerry is such an awesome man. And he comes here clean, him and his wife, every week. And I appreciate you, Jerry. You're my friend. Long time. We graduated together in Bible school way back, and we had a Bible school in church, and we graduated. So he's here. But I'm trying to get your wife to come to school, and she's been fighting me. I believe she's going to come, and thank God. And Jean, too, was at my Bible school. Praise God. And I don't know, is Miss Pearson here today? If she is, I can't see her. Is she there? That's very strange for her not to be here. And we're going to start the Bible school this year. I believe we're going to be heading up again to school. And people are asking about it. I don't know if anybody here is interested in the Bible school. But if you are, please talk to us. Tell us I'm interested. And so we devised a program. I devised a one-year program that entails the curriculum that would help people to get into ministry right away. It will give you all the background you need, all the practical, all the Christian educational side of it, the practical hands-on knowledge that you need to help a pastor or to help an evangelist or a missionary or to help devise a program inside of a program, and how to help yourself and determine, the calling in your life. And so, I've been in education for years. My wife and I worked in education in college level. And so, I believe we have a great program, and it'll help you. I know Maxine, she really enjoyed it. In fact, I think she wants to take it again someday. Second year, I believe, right? And so there's another, people that are really, Corey and Julie. In fact, Corey is now also a registered psychologist. No, registered pastor. Yeah, he's with the government, so he can actually marry you and bury you. So he can do that. So we had such a great time. So there's a number of people in this church that took it. It will help you become a better person, I believe, to learn those things. And Gene's been there. Gene took the program. A number of people. Monique took the program. In fact, Monique is going to take it again. Did you take it, Monique, last? You did, right? Okay. Okay. Woo! Praise God. Amen. You're going to come. Praise the Lord. So, if you're watching online, I advise you to call us and let us know that you're interested in the program. It'll help you. It'll help you build you up. We're going to be having, I believe in August, we're having the director of OBFF. It's called Open Bible Faith Fellowship of Canada. He'll be here speaking Sunday morning. We're going to have a pastor's luncheon, so you guys are invited to the pastor's luncheon. We'll be having a get-together with a number of pastors in the area. We're trying to get together, help encourage one another, and be a blessing to each other. And by the way, I just want to remind you, you cut me off. This year, in the fall, we're going to celebrate 10 years of Spirit Love Television broadcasting from Thunder Bay across Canada. Amen. We are hoping to put a kind of gala-like service for that. We'll have tables in this auditorium, and you come dressed up like you're coming to see the Queen. And so we'll have a great time. So, yes, it keeps getting better. And then we also have the fall conference coming. We have Pastor Rick, of course, coming again. We have Pastor Martinez from Toronto. You remember Pastor Martinez? He's coming. And Marie Shano, he's a day speaker, teacher during the daytime. And then we have Pastor Housing from Red Deer, Alberta. He's been traveling all over the world. In missions, and he was actually had a television program out west as well, and he's also a faith teacher, preacher. So we want to do like a fall conference, healing conference, faith and healing conference. So we're going to do that because we believe that God's emphasizing certain things to get back to the things of God, and what God spoke to us. I also want to invite you. It's all announcements. I get to talk to you once in a while. On Friday, on Tuesdays, I teach lessons on prayer, and we get together in the fire room, and we teach on prayer. And so, and then we get together and we do precept and prayer. So, I would say, please attend those if you want to learn how to pray. So you don't have to be running to people in the middle of the night. You know exactly what to do if an emergency happens. You don't have to call anybody. You're confident in your prayer that God will help someone and help yourself. We want people to be raised up like that, you know. So thank God for that. Amen. Did you find your scripture? I thought you'd be spiritual enough to pick it up in a sense realm. So anyway, I'm just kidding. 2 Corinthians 5:7, if you'd go there, please. Did you get all the notes? You got the notes. 2 Corinthians 5:7. And as you see, it'll be on the screen here. It says, let's go ahead and read that together. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Say that 3 times together. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Everybody all together, your voice again. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So what our lesson is today is learning what does it mean to walk by faith. You're either walking by faith, either you're walking in presumption, foolishness, or you're walking by faith. A lot of times people don't understand this lesson, and they say all kinds of stuff. They accuse us or people like us that we're fanatical when Jesus taught it. Paul taught this. And faith is the most important subject in the Bible. Because you cannot get anything in life without faith. You couldn't get saved without faith. You cannot get healed without faith. You cannot get your prayers answered without faith. You cannot receive or step out and do something if you don't know what faith is. So we want to touch an easy lesson so that the simplest person can understand. If you'd go to Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, I want to read scriptures. If you could take these scriptures on, Romans 1, 17 is what I'm going to go to, but I'm going to read two scriptures from there, 16 and 17. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. The third scripture is Hebrews 10, 38. Again, Romans 1, 17, Galatians 3, and 11, Hebrews 10, 38, three scriptures that we will look at. We want to determine what Paul is talking about when he says that we walk by faith and not by sight. And to further introduce my subject this morning, I did write a little blurb on here. So I don't know what you're drinking over there, but I want some of it. Anyway, the Bible says that all believers, listen to this, we're going to see three scriptures. The Bible says that all believers are required to walk by faith and not by sight. There's not a single person in this room that says, well, it's an option for me. I don't really have to do this. No, this is something that God wants you to do. How did you get saved? The Bible says that you got saved by believing in Jesus. You got saved by faith. You didn't see Jesus. You didn't see Jesus go to hell. You didn't see Jesus physically rise from the dead. You didn't see him go up to heaven. You were not there. You believe the word. You believe someone's word. The Bible says we believe on the word. And so, you got saved by faith. The scriptures tells you the day after you, for the rest of your life, you'll live the same way. The same way you receive salvation, the same way you will live. Conduct your affairs, all of your life is by faith. Everything. And we have to understand those things. So we're going to give you those three scriptures in a moment, but let me continue on with my description here. So the Bible says that all believers are required to walk by faith, not by sight. We saw 1 Corinthians 5, 7, or 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Yet there are multitudes of Christians making important decisions without faith and living by sight. In other words, they're making decisions. They never consult the Bible. They never pray about it. They don't pray accurately because they don't even know how to pray and hear God or ask God properly about directions. And so they just kind of decide on, sometimes on a whim, on how I feel about it. If this doesn't happen, that doesn't happen, and then I'll do this. And so there are multitudes of people that are making important decisions in life, like getting married or moving to Westport. big important decisions. Living in Kern River. You know, so those are huge decisions, huge decisions. And so we need to make sure that we're not walking by sight just because Kern River is more beautiful than Westport. Doesn't mean you have to all come over here. They need some beautiful people over in Westford. Amen. There's no insinuation. I just, you know. Okay. So, since God requires all believers to live by faith, since it's really critical, the Bible says that we walk by faith, it's important that we know what faith is. And the Bible says that faith pleases God. And it displeases Him when we don't, the Bible says. The Scripture says that. It displeases Him. He's not happy when you don't walk by faith. And so, my question is, where do you stand when it comes to walking by faith in your personal life? When it comes to making decisions. There are critical things like people, you know, should I get an operation? Should I throw away my pills? Should I throw away this cane? I mean, what should I do? So I'm saying, you know, is it faith, foolishness, or presumption? We need to understand what faith really is before you can actually walk by faith. And you don't die before the time because you made stupid decisions. And be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Being led by the Holy Spirit. That's all part of it. So let's go examine some scripture. And we will look at Romans over here, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The Bible says that Paul, you know, at the outset of his letter, or the onset of his letter, Paul said, a servant of Jesus Christ called to be an apostle. You know, he wasn't really called to be an apostle that very day he was called. He didn't understand. He didn't know right away. You know what? Where you start off all the time is not where you're going to end up. And Paul had a powerful experience with Jesus, and he was called. You know, the word called gives this information to it in the Greek that you are here, you're being summoned. Summoned. You know, if you're summoned to go to court, you know, you have to go. And God was telling Paul, you need to come, I'm calling you. He said, called to be the apostle. The word is, I believe the Greek particle word there is kaleo, which means to call aloud or to be summoned, to be called from something into something else. See, Paul was called to live and walk and display what a life of faith is. And he never shrunk back, even though he had difficulties. Wasn't a popularity thing, so he said he's called to be an apostle and separated afore by his prophet. You know, he says separated unto the gospel. The word separated is a pharia, which means to be set apart by boundaries. Everybody say set apart by boundaries. To be separated unto the gospel means, you know, it doesn't mean just because you're a pastor, you can just go anywhere and start churches. Because you happen to be a pastor. And because you're an evangelist, I can just go anywhere I want to go. No, you have to go where God calls you. And go, if you're called to go to Africa, that's where you're supposed to be. If I'm called to Thunder Bay, that's where God wants me. He didn't say to go to Toronto and start churches there. So God has a call. He has boundaries for you to do what He's called you to do. As I mentioned last, I'm not sure when I said this, I remember hearing at camp meeting, and of course Bible school, Brother Hagin was talking about 1987. In 1987, just before camp meeting, he said he had an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus took him up into the Spirit. And during that conference, it was at the Tulsa Convention Center, and he said there was thousands of people there, and they were worshiping God, and he said, I'm there in the Spirit, I'm there. Jesus took me up, and I saw all these people at the convention center, thousands of people, and they're worshiping, and Jesus said, you see those men in that section in the front there? He said, those are my ministers. He said, they call me, they pray to me. They make their decisions. They've made plans, and they ask me to bless their plans, and I want to bless their plans, but I can't. I can only do it to a certain degree because what they're asking for is not in my plan. Psalm 127 says, unless God builds the house, they that labor in vain. It means there's some people that are doing businesses, maybe and even in ministry, a lot of cases, that God never called them to do it or didn't call them to do a certain strategy. So we have to, understand, where is your boundary at? And I've always, tried to grapple with that because I feel, maybe I deserve more than what I'm getting. Being in Thunder Bay, restraining me. Or the city's restraining me. Maybe I should go to somewhere else. No, God called me here. Amen. And people say to me, you're still in Thunder Bay. I say, yeah, I'm still there. Unless God tells me to go somewhere else, that's where I'm going to be. So we have to understand we are set apart by boundaries. So you just can't decide what you want to do. You can't just go into the ministry because you decide what looks good on Pastor Roma or the other pastor looks good on him. I want to try that. And yet there are even people who go to university, become doctors or lawyers or whatever, and God never called them. They have ability to do it, but God didn't say to do that. Well, anyway, sound like I'm not... Anyway, verse 16. So Paul was called. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus to what he was called to do. He's separated to the gospel. He said that, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The word salvation, Dr. Scofield, the Scofield's Bible, which many of our brothers use in certain persuasion, Dr. Scofield said that the word salvation is an all-inclusive word, which implies deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, soundness. We're separated to the gospel that has all these ingredients in it. Thank God. He said it's the power of God into salvation to everyone that believes. If you can believe, you can receive deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, soundness. To everyone that believes. Not everyone who prays. Everyone who believes. Jesus said, Matthew 21, 22, or 22, 21, he says there that all things are possible to him. He talks about that if you ask anything, but if you believe, you'll receive. He didn't say everyone who prays will get something. No, everyone who believes, it's believing prayer. So we have to understand faith. Faith, if you're praying right now, you asked God for something and you said, stood right here and you prayed, God, I need this and that. And you said, amen and thank you, Lord. Then you walk over here and you start worrying. Wondering if not you got what you asked God for. And you start talking negative as if you never got it. You didn't get your answer. Because you're wavering, just like James says, he that wavers will not receive anything from the Lord. James 1 says that. And so, if you're praying here and you ask God, and you have to walk away like you already got it. If somebody asks you, how's everything going? You say, I'm doing fine, thank God, he meets all my needs. How's that shoulder that you got injured? How's that cancer situation? Praise God, the Lord has given, granted healing. Praise the Lord, I believe in healing. No, you don't have to do anything. You'll just say, thank God for healing. I believe I receive. Everybody say, I believe. I receive. See, you don't have to do the getting. Jesus gives you that. You just have to believe. Believe, what does believe mean? Believe means that you're going to act like what you ask for is true. Believing means like, you're trusting God. You have confidence in what he said, and you're relying on God. So you just don't worry about it anymore. Is that hard to do?
No.
Oh, yes, it is. It's very hard to do because people can get you off. The devil can talk to you. You feel different about it. You know, we need to understand this. Yes, it's not hard to do in one sense, but in the sense of that, it's difficult to actually get it out. It's just simple. That's what I'm talking about. I think that's what you mean. It's simple. It's simple, and yet it's hard to do because you have to deal with your unrenewed mind and your unstable emotions and all the circumstances that you're looking at. And those, if you stay in the Word, you'll stabilize your faith, and you just say, I don't care what those are saying to me. I believe what the Word of God says. You're sure as anything else. So, for their end, verse 17, for then the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Let's go to another scripture. Where shall we go? Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident the just shall live by faith. You know, you didn't start off your salvation by doing something, seeing something. You trusted the word of God that was delivered to you. That's how you got saved. You know, the Habakkuk chapter 2, you know, we get this where Paul is quoting from. I believe this he's quoting from Habakkuk chapter 2. Does the just shall live by faith? The just, he's talking about, are those that have been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. The just, those that have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus, are to live by faith, not to just... you know, once in a while, you know, I feel like I'm going to live by faith. Today's a good day to do it. But tomorrow, maybe not. I don't know. No, we do this every day. So we want to find out what is he talking about. So this is the second witness, or at least the third one now. But let's go look at another one. Hebrews chapter 10. And, you know, he talks about, you know, the heroes of faith in chapter 11. Let's read a few other scriptures here. Let's read from verse 35, chapter 10, verse 35 of the King James Version. But we want to go to verse 38. Cast not therefore your confidence. You know what confidence is? You know, Hebrews 11, 1 says, faith is the confidence. You know, we have to have confidence in God. He says, cast not away your confidence. Confidence in what? Hebrews 11 says, faith is confidence. You know, it says, here, let's look at this verse of Scripture. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When we're believing in faith, it's you know, the Amplified, I believe, says a little different. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things which we hope for, being a proof of the things we do not see, conviction of the reality. Faith is perceived as a real fact that what is revealed to the senses, you know, you have to believe beyond senses. You can't believe just by what you see in the natural. So, I believe some of the versions say, I think New Living says confidence. If you look at 1 John 5, you know, 14, he says we're confident that whatever we ask God for, we have it. That's faith. Confident in somebody. If somebody here, how many of you have ever had confidence in somebody's word or confident in somebody? You believe him? You believe him. If he said, hey, I'll see you, I'll meet you on the corner here this time, and they're there. And next time they tell you something, you say, yeah, he's going to show up. He'll be there. I know him. So that's how you know God. You know, there's two ways you learn about God. One is you read the scriptures and you study about that, and then you walk with God. And you see how he operates. So, which he says, your confidence, which had great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience, after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For a little while, and he shall come, will come, and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith. Here's the other verse of scripture in the New Testament that says, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. In other words, if you stop living by faith, God doesn't have pleasure in you. Just living for yourself, doing what you want to do, making decisions away from out of the context of Scripture. He says there, if any man draw back, when every time we backslide, and that's not good. God doesn't want that. He doesn't like it. Because without faith, as verse 6 says in Hebrews 11, notice this, without faith it's impossible to please God. We must learn what it is. If this is such a huge subject, we need to learn what it is. Everything is by faith. We learn to be righteous by faith. We learn to step out in ministry by faith. We do projects by faith. We do a lot of things by faith. We just get up and do things every day, even in the natural, right? So, we see some scripture that tells us very, very, real. Hebrews 11:1, as we read earlier, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the word faith in that verse of scripture is the Greek word pistis, which W.E. Vine of New Testament dictionary words says, the dictionary says this, faith is the Greek word pistis. The word faith means a firm persuasion, a conviction. In other words, something you in your spirit, you're convinced, you're convicted, you believe. A firm persuasion, a conviction based upon hearing. That falls right into the fact that, what you hear long enough will eventually get into your spirit and becomes what you believe. Because believing comes from the heart. The Bible says, I believe with all my heart. We say that you believe. What does it mean, believing with the Spirit? We're going to show you. Walking by faith means you're believing with your spirit. I'm going to show you that because, we don't believe by what we think, by what we feel. You have to believe by principles, right? You believe on principle. You make decisions by principles, not by favoring people, appeasing people's opinions, and doing that. You're standing on principles. So, it says that faith is the substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What you hope for, you believe in your heart that something's going to come to pass. Hope is future. Faith is always now. So if it's not now, then you're really not in faith. We say that. You have to say, yeah, I'm saved. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. We'll pray for you. If you come here tonight, we pray for you. Whether the Holy Spirit manifests himself, and we're going to try to teach people this. It's going to take a while for people to understand this. We're going to teach, the Lord spoke to me a few years ago. I don't minister a lot of times with just the tangible anointing because God wants us to learn faith. He wants us to believe and receive by faith. What Wigglesworth used to say, what if the Holy Ghost is not moving and the gifts of faith are not operating? They stir people up, right, those gifts. Woo, you feel good, What do you do? Well, he said, if the Spirit's not moving, he said, what do I do? I move the Spirit. What do? You move the Spirit. Now you act on the Word. You act like the Word's true. That's how you move the Holy Spirit. Because he's your helper. You don't wait for him. Like if he doesn't, so if we don't have no manifestation. So, he says, now faith, the word faith is a firm persuasion. a conviction based upon here. Now faith is a firm persuasion based upon conviction of the substance you hope for. Whatever you believe in God for, you have confidence. You're persuaded it's real. The only way to do that is get to the scriptures and find out what it says in there. There's no way you're going to be persuaded about anything unless you hear the word, unless you read the word about whatever it is you're believing for. Read it to yourself. That's why we tell people, read the scripture to yourself. Don't just read it in your mind. Skim over 17 chapters that morning, get nothing. You're skimming over, racing with somebody. I don't know who you're racing with. Get that word in you. So, a firm persuasion. Everybody say, if faith is?
Faith.
A firm persuasion. A conviction. Based on what I hear. So, whatever you heard about anything or anybody about life, you heard it from somebody. You heard somebody said something about me, about Faith City Church, about God, about the devil, about Thunder Bay. Somebody told you. So you're either going to believe them or you're going to believe what God says about all things are possible to him that believes. Everybody say, all things are possible to him that believes. It's possible for me. I'm a believer. Yes, it is. So you have to be able to, you know, faith works like this. No other way faith works. And that you have to believe it. In other words, you have to believe something according to the word of God that it's true. Then you have to say it. You have to say what's evidently not true in the natural. You have to believe according to the word of God. So if you're sick right now and you're not healed, seemingly you're not physically healed now, you have to say, according to the word of God, I'm healed. You can't say, according to my body, I'm healed, because you're obviously not healed. You're taking your pill in the morning, you say, thank God, I'm healed. I want to thank you, Lord. I know the manifestation's not there. I want to thank you. According to your word, I'm healed. Amen. Take your pill. The doctor says, you don't need that. Lots of people have done that. And the doctor said, don't take that anymore. It's actually killing you. He said, don't take that. You're okay. So if you're on medications, you're an idiot if you start taking, just throwing it away. You don't have a faith. You're a fool. You don't want to be a fool. Right? We don't want to be a fool. You don't give all your money away, expect God to give you money tomorrow. Unless you give it to me, I'll give it back to you. But with interest. I want you to see somebody who is firmly persuaded. Let's go and see an example of that. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. You want to see an example? I could give you two examples, maybe three or four. Let's go to Romans 4 and 17. Here's a man by the name of Abraham who is called the father of faith. He displayed, you know, what it is. He's the father of faith. He believed God, the Bible says. Are you still here? Okay, so we got to show scriptures and we get some practical in there and tell you, some things, give you some wisdom. How many people know that the Holy Ghost is in the house? Amen. He's here. He lives in us, and he's absolutely talking to you. Amen. He's there. You know, for pastors, see the gifts of the Spirit. Here's what Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, I came to you not with ecstasy, speech, or wisdom, nor declaring to you the word of God, but I came in, fear and trembling, but my speech and my preaching was not with persuasive words of human wisdom or men. But he said, I came in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. And verse 5 said, not that your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He said, I came to you, declaring unto you in spirit, demonstrating in spirit and in power. He's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the vocal gifts, and also the demonstration of the vocal gifts and the demonstration of the spiritual gifts of healing, miracles, and signs and wonders. But the first part of it was the demonstration of the Spirit, which means that when you're standing here, God is talking to you. And he's stirring you on the inside of you that, hey, what I'm saying to you is not Roman Fisher talking, God's talking to me. And you're convinced on the inside of you that God is speaking to you. You say, Whence this man had this from? Where did he get this wisdom from? By the Holy Ghost. If you look at that verse of Scripture in the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 5, it says that your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It says in there, the Amplified says that the Holy Spirit, while I'm speaking to you, he's stirring your emotions on the inside of you that what I'm talking about is real. And you're sitting there, it's a demonstration of spirit and power. It's a demonstration when I'm speaking to you, the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, the revelation gifts, where the wisdom, where the knowledge is operating. While I'm preaching to you, it's not that spectacular in some instance. I didn't pull anybody out and tell them, you know, you got $10 in your pocket, you got a hole in your shoe, and tell you stuff like that, you know. What you ate for breakfast and what you'll eat this afternoon. No, that's but here there is a discerning of spirit. What people need at the very moment. Romans 4. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, that's talking about Abraham, even God, who quickeneth the dead. This is what God does. God quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. In other words, God calls things that are actually not the way. He doesn't call it the way it is. He calls it the way he wants it to be. And we need to be like God. Call it the way the Bible said. Call it the way God said it should be. Not the way it is. Oh, it's really hard to preach in this city. Oh, you could never grow a church in this city. You could never have a television show. You could never have a teen challenge program in this place. You can't. Where are you going to get the money from? God. God and God. Amen. He's going to do it for you. Thank Jesus. Notice this. Who against hope believed in hope? That means natural hope. There's a difference between natural hope and supernatural hope. Natural hope is like, you know, it might happen. It could happen. If he does this, it could work out. Natural hope is that, you know, it could, you know, there's a chance. There's a 50-50 chance it'll happen. A majority says this, and it could happen that way. It could go this way. But supernatural hope, you know, it says that it's going to happen. It's going to happen sooner or later. I don't know when it's going to happen. It will happen. That's supernatural hope. Why? Because supernatural hope is confident expectation in the Greek. Confident expectation. In other words, you're expecting what you believe in God was going to happen, will happen. But it's not happening right now, as you can see, but it's going to happen. Everybody say, it's going to happen. Put up your hand, say, it's going to happen. Put up your hand, say, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Come on, put up your hand, say, it's going to happen. Yeah, you gotta be that adamant about it. You gotta be the adamant about it. When you're alone and the devil talks to you, you gotta get right up in his face and tell him, that's not so. Let me tell you what the Bible says. You gotta tell him that. You gotta talk to the devil. Look at him in the eye, face to face, and say, that's not gonna happen. Not on my watch. Not on God's watch. Praise God. I believe it is written to me. I believe it's so according to the Word of God. Amen. That's how it is. If you don't do that, you're not going to get anything. You say, well, it might happen. Hope so. See, this guy here, he said, who against hope? In other words, everything was against him. Everything what he's believing for, his body is telling him, you're old. He looks at his old wife, she's old. I mean, he's got a double thing there, you know? Yeah. So, we'll talk later. Anyway. That he might become the father of many nations, according to which was spoken. Which was spoken. In other words, God talked to him. God is talking to us. The Bible is God talking to us. Everybody say, the Bible is God talking to me. So he says that according to which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. That's, you find that in Genesis 17 and 12, and you can look at all those scriptures. And not being weak in faith. Weak in faith is a status of some situation that people come in, they're weak in faith because they're not convinced. He considered not his own body now dead. Sometimes you have to consider not what other people are saying, their opinion about your life and whatever else is going on. You have got to say, what does God say about it? There's sometimes you just got to cut people off and say, you know what? I believe the Bible here. I'm trust the Word of God. I mean, you can do what you want to do, but I'm staying with the Word. I'm staying with the Bible. Yeah, but the science says, no, what are you talking about science? God created science. His own body went in about 100 years old, and he had the deadness of Sarah's womb. That's talking about a huge situation that he had to believe. There are some people in this room that you got huge situations that you're believing God to change in your life. It is not going to change by you wimping around and crying to everybody else and asking everybody else to pray for you. You got to stand on your 2 feet and start believing God yourself. Sooner or later, you need to do that. It's the best thing for you. You know, so it says here, he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Notice that he staggered not, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Unbelief, the word unbelief means being unpersuaded. He was not persuaded. He was persuaded. He says, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. That's faith. Being fully persuaded. No, you can't move him. You cannot convince him otherwise. He's fully persuaded. He's so full, you can't put stuff, anything else inside of his brain, in his spirit. He's absolutely, you know, you can't change him. You can say what you want, but just bounce off him like water off a duck's back. I'm fully persuaded. You can say what you want to say. I know the house is falling down, but I believe God is doing something over here, destroying that house, maybe. Amen. We're trusting God. How many of you are hearing this morning? We need to hear a lesson every once in a while like that. Amen. It's 10 after. I'm very sorry about that, but we've got to continue here for a minute. What God had promised, he's able to perform. Now, let me just finish this off. Give me 45 seconds. So we got to be fully persuaded. If we're going to walk by faith, you got to be fully persuaded about the Bible. You got to be fully persuaded about the Word of God in your life, that healing belongs to you. You got to be fully persuaded. If you're going to be healed, yes, you say, well, everybody else died this way. You know, eventually you're going to die from this. No, you got to say, no, God says I'm healed. According to the Word of God, you will die if you don't. I went to a man, he was sick, you know, he told me to come to his room. I called him, he kept calling me, so I went to see him in the hospital. He's there for long term. He's got a really bad situation in his hand. I said, you know what? After talking to him, I realized he was not ready for me to pray for him. I asked him, does anybody come back? Oh, yeah, a lot of people have come by to pray for me. You're just, the 77th guy that come by here. And I want you to come and just pray for me right now. Don't teach me nothing. Don't tell me. Just pray for me. I said, I'm not going to pray. You're not ready for prayer. You need to get the Word of God in you and find out what it says. I want you to be confident that when I lay hands on you, you will receive. So I said, tomorrow, I want you to read this little book. It has 10 pages. It's on healing. Read it. I'll come back to pray for you. I went back there the next day. Did you read the book? No, I don't got no time. So I went back again. So I thought, maybe it's the book. Maybe it's the cover. Maybe it's I don't know what it is. I took another little book. I said to him, you really want to be healed? Oh, yeah. Okay, here's another little book. And I want you to read at least a couple of things in there. And I'm gonna pray for you. I want to know if he's serious. I went back again. Did you read that book? Oh, no, I'm just too busy. I went there again the third time. I figured at least 3 times it's going to happen. I give him another little book. I said, maybe this one is going to be a good one. Read that. And I just persuaded them and said, you know, you got to get the Word of God in you. He said, you know what? My prayer is, you're going to nullify my prayer. a faith with the way you're talking and the way you believe, you'll nullify ineffectively my faith in the power of God. He didn't have time. So what happened to him? Well, he'd been there for about a year and a half, maybe longer, and he died. He had all that time to study the Bible. And at this last second of he's going to die, he called me again. There's people like that that don't want to do anything. They believe that you can do it. I knew my parents not going to help him. You know, sometimes you have to understand this. You know, some people, you know, they don't want Jesus. And some people don't want the Holy Ghost. Some people don't want the Word. They want you to just go ahead, lay hands, say what happens. If it happens, it happens. No, that's not the way it's going to work. Now, walking by faith, three things. Number one, you have to know what faith is. You write these down. Watch the video again, whatever. Number two, you have to know where does faith come from? How to get that faith? If you know faith is important, where do you get it from? It doesn't come from McDonald's. It comes from places like this that teach faith. It comes from the Bible, really. How do we get it? And the third one is, how do we use our faith? How do we apply our faith? That's the practical end. How do we use our faith? How do you know, when did you release your faith about that finances? When did you release your faith about that healing? And you kept it, and now you have to do something else now. Instead of asking the next guy to pray for you, the next flashy evangelist or the special meeting, you're going to do the same thing again, and you'll get nothing. Believe. Now, that means walking by faith means you're not going to walk according to circumstances of life. You're not going to walk if situations change for the worse. You're going to still stay with the Word of God. You're not going to walk according to the opinions of everybody else. You're not going to walk, certainly, your own opinion. Your own opinion will bring you down. Ask yourself what you believe. Is that Bible? Examine your speech. Examine the way you're behaving. Is that acting like you're in faith? Every time you go and talk to somebody, you talk about the same old issue. You're rehashing everything, making it bigger than what it's going to be. Don't even talk to anybody about it. Praise God and say, you know what? I want to thank God. You know, He healed me. Thank God for His goodness, His mercy. So you're not going to walk by those things. You're not going to walk by what you think about it and what everybody else thinks about it. You're going to walk by what God thinks about it. What does He think about it? You're not going to walk by how you feel or everybody else feels. Oh, everybody's against it. They feel this way. So, I'm, if you're weak in your soul, you'll gravitate to everybody else, how they feel about it, just to make them happy. And then you die and lose out on it. No, we walk by faith. Everybody stand up. Musicians, if you would please come. If you do have a faith song, hallelujah. Yeah, praise the Lord. Woo! 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 You know what? We need to act. We need to just act like it. So I like this man. Man, I watch him. I get so enthused. You know, I want to dance with him. Thank God. I want to hire you every Sunday. $50 an hour. Starting wages. I mean, everybody, we should put him up here every Sunday. Just get everybody danced up, just like him. This doesn't make you happy? Pastor's dancing. Huh? You say, that's really stupid. No, it's not. I'm happy. You know? Do you believe? Oh, yeah, I believe. I believe, yeah. I'm just cool. I keep it all inside. The Bible says, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Amen. Amen? If you can, if you want to, lift your hand and thank God. Father, We praise you in the name of Jesus for a wonderful word of God. We thank you that this word will change our lives. That we're not going to be the same after we walk out of this room. We're not the same anymore. We change our mind on certain things of our own behavior. We're watching our own lifestyle. And we want to thank you that we know what it means to walk by faith. And that is not to walk by opinions, circumstances, and things that are opposing us. We're walking by the Word of God. Everybody say, I walk by faith. I walk by faith. Say, I walk by faith. Not by sight. Not on people's opinions. Not what I think. What everybody else feels. I walk according to the Word of God. Say, as I stand here, I'm healed. I'm extremely blessed. Say, I'm rich. Say, I'm good looking. I'm smart. I'm intelligent. I make great decisions. Say, I have more than enough. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Now give him one more praise offering. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're here, if you're inside of my voice, if you don't know Jesus Christ, this is the time to invite Jesus in your life. You say, Jesus, come in my life. Save me. The Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You said, Jesus, I'm calling upon you. Be my Savior and Lord. And that's how quick it can happen. In the name of Jesus, we'll see you next week. Remember the healing service tonight, guys. Bring somebody and come and be an encouragement as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful day.